This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How much time should be on a shot clock? Game clock.
3.6. The ball comes in deep. And a steal by Champagne. And this one's in the books. The Panthers hold on and defeat Boston College. 74-72, and for the first time since 2017, the Pitt team has won back-to-back ACC conference games.
Thanks, Billy. Almost cut out there for a second. And with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the early morning show, the final call last night, of course, of the Pitt Panthers defeating the Boston College Eagles 74-72. It's the start of a new day. Brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, and once again, with Pitt, and it's going to be, you've heard it a million times, if you've heard any Pitt talk throughout the year, the up and down nature of their season, up and down nature of their games, and again, it was so last night at the Pete. But in the end, yet another ACC win for this team as they continue to just kind of crawl and climb their way back into relevancy. Both on the national stage and in the conference. And after the first half, thinking last night with Pitt, here we go again. Like, this is just unreal. They're coming off a win against North Carolina and once again falling on their faces the game right after. And it hit a low point when they were down 31-19 at one point in the first half. But they made a run at the end of the first half to make it 33-28. And so they always... just when you're ready to give up and just kind of turn the TV off or the stream off, however you were watching last night, they climb back into the game before the end of the first half. Maybe if you're up that late last night, and I know it was a late start, 9 o'clock, and if you're up this early, you probably missed most of it. But it makes you kind of hang around for the second half, and they play much better there and actually go up by 10 at one point. With less than 5 minutes left, but then let the lead slip away. And tied at 72, comes down to the very end. Ryan Murphy catches a pass from Justin Champagne in stride, takes a step, pulls up inside the three-point arc in the middle of the floor, and gets it for the game-winning basket. And that's how it all ends for Pitt last night in the win over Boston College. Jeff Capel talking about that moment and that shot for Ryan Murphy.
You know, in that situation right there, what we wanted to do, we didn't want to call a timeout. We felt like it was a broken play, and we didn't want them to set their defense. And fortunately for us, we were able to get the ball to Murph. He was able to get space, and he stepped up to take a, you know, to make a big-time shot. And it takes guts, you know, to be in that moment and to have the guts to take that shot. And, you know, we're very fortunate, really happy, really excited that he made it.
Yeah, obviously. Trey McGowan's had 12 of his 14 in the second half, and I think – Justin Champagne will be, and might be already, their most complete player. Double-double again last night, 17 points, 10 boards. I think he's the guy with McGowan's and Johnson still so erratic at times, I would say. You don't quite know what exactly you're going to get. Johnson had 9 points. He did have 10 assists last night, so he was more of a distributor. Maybe that's what you want to see more out of Johnson, but there were plenty of times where he looked kind of reckless toward the basket, again, like he has for his entire Pitt career, really, and can be kind of frustrating to watch. And I'm sure if I'm frustrated to watch what Johnson does on a nightly basis, I'm sure Jeff Capel is as well. But everything with Pitt feels like baby steps, right? Like you can't make too many wide proclamations about this team either way. Coming off a loss, coming off a win, every game is another gradual step toward relevancy again for this Pitt program. And that was back-to-back ACC wins, which hasn't happened in forever. I don't know the exact stat, but it's been years since that happened. So another sign of it getting back. And also Audi's Tony, who's a sophomore, had his best game, 16 points last night, said after the game, quote, "I wouldn't think we would have won that game last year. We were trying to figure out each other. We know each other more than we did last year." Maybe that kind of sums it up last night and everything that where Pitt is right now and just kind of the result of last night. A Boston College team that, in the grand scheme of things in the ACC, really isn't all that great of a basketball team. And Pitt was at home last night. That was a game that they needed to win. And they did in the end, but took the rockiest road to get there. And maybe that's what sums up the season well for the Pitt Panthers at this point. Let me switch over to this here before I break in this first segment to start the day here in the early morning show. I appreciate you tuning me in this morning on a Thursday. So the Steelers offseason continues to evolve, and we're continuing to kind of break down what they may do or what they may need. And since Art Rooney II said that they're going to be, basically they're going to be patient with Juju Smith-Schuster and not give him a long-term deal right now, not commit more money than they already have to him, and just kind of wait and see how he comes back after what was really a lost season in the end for Juju, right? And a lot of opinions, I think, surfaced about Juju since Art Rooney II made those comments, and I saw a lot of them yesterday. How he may be phony, that the Steelers should trade him now while his value is lowest, or, you know, get some extra assets for this team. And I think that Juju had a lot of things keep him out of rhythm this past season, and it reminds me a lot of, and I know that this is a crazy comparison positionally, but in just the feel of the season and how it just went off the rails to begin with and never really got back on, reminds me a lot of Chris Boswell from a couple years ago, where things went wrong to start, never really got back on track. Plus, there were injuries in this case with Smith-Schuster. That kind of sounds, you know, it might sound like excuse-making to you, but that's how I felt about Boswell, and he bounced back this season. I think that's a lot of what Juju Smith-Schuster is dealing with, and I think he'll be back to, I don't know if he'll be back to the same numbers as what he put up with Antonio Brown, but I think he'll be pretty close as long as Ben Roethlisberger is close to what Ben Roethlisberger was before this elbow injury. And so I think the Steelers, essentially, I think the Steelers should hang on to him, and I think about who is around him in that receiving core. And I think the offense is definitely the side of the ball to address in this offseason. I look at what's around Juju Smith-Schuster. There's James Washington. There's Deontay Johnson. Both developing wide receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster himself is a developing wide receiver. And so when I look at this offseason, I think we can kind of hit the reset button from last offseason. In that we can, I think the Steelers should bring in a veteran wide receiver. Now, there are some interesting names in the free agent pool. And last year, we know about the failed experiment with Dante Moncrief. We know that he couldn't catch a ball in the first couple weeks of the season and really was not a factor. So maybe some fans or some people are kind of soured on the idea of going out and getting a veteran receiver. But I look at who should be out there this year. At the top of the list, I mean, there's A.J. Green and Emmanuel Sanders. Those are great names, especially A.J. Green, because I still think he has a lot left coming off of injury and would be a huge body and a huge threat for this offense. But, I mean, I think he's going to be a lot more money, and I don't really know what his situation is in Cincinnati. And Emmanuel Sanders, I think, will be too much as well. I think those are kind of pipe dream names. But then I get down to two that I think make sense for the Steelers, and that's Randall Cobb at age 30. Made $5 million last year. If you can get him on a one-year deal, I think he would, I don't know, potentially sign for less than $5 million. I think he showed that he has a lot left. Over 800 yards with Dallas last year. You might get into a bidding war with them because they're in danger of losing Amari Cooper. That'd be the one risk with Randall Cobb and trying to go after him. But I think he would make a lot of sense to bring in as a guy, a leader of this receiving core, as these guys continue to try to find themselves in the NFL, and to give Ben a steady presence to throw the ball to, which they tried to do with Dante Moncrief last season. And then the other name that sticks out to me is Nelson Agholor. Only 27 years old, made $2.3 million last year, maybe on a one-year deal you can sign him for two, maybe less than that. Guy who got lost in the shuffle a little bit in Philadelphia. Feels a little more Moncrief-ish, but I think would still be worth bringing in on the cheap. The Steelers will most likely be more strapped, money-wise, and against the cap. Ray Fittipaldo, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined the morning show a couple weeks ago and said that last offseason was kind of the spending year for the Steelers and more of an outlier than what it will be, what it has been in the past, and what it may be this season. So with that being said, I don't think there's much to add defensively. And I know this is supposed to be a deep wide receiver class in the draft. Honestly, that makes me want a free agent wide receiver more, because then the Steelers can take a guy later in the draft. They don't have to spend a second-round pick, say, if they really want to, at a position that they've had success in drafting. And maybe a guy that they can get later on in the draft with still a lot of upside. I trust them to find that diamond in the rough later on in the draft, especially if this is supposed to be a deep class, if they really still want to address the position. And I honestly have no idea what the Steelers are going to do at the draft at this point. Like, they could go tight end, they could go running back if somebody like Jonathan Taylor is there, they could go D lineman with Javon Hargrave likely out. I mean, it's kind of a weird year where they have no first round pick, which is weird to begin with. And then there's no glaring sore spot. Last year, we knew what the sore spot was. We knew what the Steelers were going to target. That was a middle linebacker. That was the Ryan Shazier replacement. It was just a matter of who are they going to get and how much are they willing to give up to get that guy. And we got the answer there with them trading up to get Devin Bush. It is not that easy and not that simple this season. And so if there's that much uncertainty there at the draft, it might be just purely taking best available. And if that's true, and as I look at this receiving core with still young guys who haven't quite made it yet, including who's supposed to be your number one target, your top guy in Smith-Schuster, I think this might be a year we can just rewind it, go back to last offseason where there was a priority to get a veteran wide receiver, bring him in here, and the two candidates I like the most are Randall Cobb and Nelson Agholor. Coming up next, if you disagree with that, text in 412-928-9370. Coming up next, a couple of different headlines in sports last night to go over, and then I'll wrap up the show with a game of big deal or no big deal. That's all on the way. It's the early morning show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the early morning show here on 93.7 The Fan, just to kind of a continual thought from what I just said about the Steelers. And I know tight end is obviously a position of need for the Steelers because I don't trust that Vance McDonald could stay on the field. I just don't know what other options there are. I mean, Hunter Henry's out there, I guess, for the Chargers, but he seems like he'd be a lot of money. I don't know if they would be able to afford bringing a guy like that in. And then with the draft, I don't know how many prospects are right there for ripe for the taking for the Steelers that would fit and be automatically better than kind of rolling the dice with Vance McDonald or Nick Vanette or whoever else they have at the tight end position. I think it's more of building up that wide receiver core because you don't have a good option at tight end. I think it's pretty slim pickings at that position. All right, coming up here, we've got some things to catch you up on from last night.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, the first, I outlined this event yesterday, hours after it had happened, and now here's the fallout. It's the Kansas and Kansas State fight, and the suspensions have been handed down as a result of the brawl, so they handed down suspensions to four players involved in the incident, and Silvio De Sousa, who was the guy who really went off for Kansas and grabbed his stole and threw it over his head and had a coach take it out of his hands before he beat somebody with it, he received the harshest punishment, go figure, with a 12-game suspension And then his teammate David McCormick also was suspended 2 games. And then on the other side for Kansas State, there was a guy who was suspended for 8 games. And then another one for 3 games for their roles in the incident. 12 games feels like, it feels right. Because that's right before the regular season ends. And it's right before the conference championships start up and, you know, the really important game. So sit him out for the rest of the regular season for just losing his mind against Kansas State in that brawl last night. Yeah, the other night. Why did I doubt myself on that? The other night. It's 5:22. My brain's not quite there yet. Also, Antonio Brown, there's an arrest warrant out for him. If you hadn't heard that, which I'm sure you have, I don't know. This might be, this whole time I've thought that Antonio Brown would get back to the NFL. No doubt in my mind, no matter how much he got himself into, like he was going to go a little crazy. He was going to say some things. He was going to throw gummies at his, you know, at the mother of his children and all these different things. The nonsense. I mean, he's not showing himself to be a very nice human being throughout all of this, but I thought when it comes time and when teams are desperate enough, they'll come calling for Antonio Brown. He'll make himself, he'll make a way back into the NFL, but this feels to me like he's, first of all, not going to get away with it, that there is a lot of evidence against him here, and they've got a pretty hard case against him. I guess it was reported that he threw a rock at that mover outside of his home in Florida. More and more, I'm starting to doubt whether we ever see him in the NFL, and I'm leaning toward that way now, that he's just not going to be able to get things back on track, and we're just, and maybe his personal safety and everybody else's personal safety is more at risk than I originally thought. All right, and also last night, I got an email from Bet Online, I believe it was, and I get these different things because of being the producer of the Fan Morning Show. There's different opportunities to have different guys on to talk about some prop bets, and especially as we get closer to the Super Bowl, those opportunities present themselves more and more. And so I scrolled through the feels like hundreds of prop bets for the Super Bowl. And so I'm not a betting guy, but I think I'm going to roll through a couple of these prop bets a day from now into the Super Bowl and give you the bet and maybe my expert, non-expert opinion, a betting advice from a guy who doesn't bet on ridiculous Super Bowl prop bets. So here we go. There's a couple for today. The first is, will a player be arrested in Miami after the game? All right, expert opinion here. Did a little bit of research for you because I know you're itching to make this bet. There were no arrests in 2007 between the Colts and the Bears in that Super Bowl, the last time it was in Miami. Or in 2010, Saints and Colts. There was, however, Eugene Robinson in 1999, who was arrested for solicitation the night before the Super Bowl after having accepted the Bart Starr Award earlier that day, and given annually to the NFL player who best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. And then he went out and got himself in trouble. And then there was Stanley Wilson's cocaine relapse back in 1988 before the Bengals got trounced by the 49ers. I'm going with no here. I'm going to bet the no on a player being arrested in Miami after the game. And then another one is, I've got to wrap this thing up, but another prop bet was the Miami temperature at kickoff. Over under 71 degrees Fahrenheit. I did the extensive research of going on to the Weather Channel and looking at the extended forecast, and we are many, many days away, of course. Right now, partly cloudy, high of 73 as the high. Probably wouldn't touch this one if I'm betting props in the Super Bowl. That's my betting advice. Stay far away from the Miami temperature at kickoff. And there's your betting advice from a guy who doesn't bet on Super Bowl prop bets. Coming up next, big deal or no big deal, evaluate some of the things going on in Pittsburgh sports. Should we be worried about it? Should we pay attention to it? Or just fluff it off as nonsense? That's coming up next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, wrapping things up on the early morning show before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Fan Morning Show today features Armando Salguero. That's at 8 o'clock. He's a Miami man, so Super Bowl in Miami. Also the AB nonsense, of course, so he'll have plenty to talk about at 8 o'clock on the Fan Morning Show today, so stick around for that. But first, here we go.
Everybody's favorite sports radio game, Big Deal or No Deal.
All right, feel free to play along, of course, Big Deal or No Big Deal. Here we go with some of the storylines in Pittsburgh sports right now. The first, Steelers Pro Bowlers Cam Hayward, TJ Watt are due to get paid soon. That's according to Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who wrote a nice story about that. Big Deal or No Big Deal? This goes back to the discussion about what the Steelers should do in the offseason, how much money they're going to have to play with to kind of add things on the offensive side. I think the Steelers should and will pay Cam Hayward in the coming months. Do what it takes to keep this defense together. As far as TJ Watt, may be able to hang off a little bit on giving him that long-term deal, but Cam Hayward, it's not an unrestricted free agent this offseason. He's got another year on that deal, but I think the sooner the better for Cam Hayward, and they've had a history of success with defensive linemen, and Ray pointed this out in his story with Brett Kiesel signing him to a longer-term deal, as well as Aaron Smith. I think Cam Hayward is right in that wheelhouse, probably better right now at his peak than both of those guys at their peaks, making Pro Bowls, All-Pro teams. Definitely lock him up and get him his money. Next, TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger said that the Penguins are pretty much looking to trade Alex Galchenyuk and may do so before the trade deadline with the Fan Morning Show yesterday. Big deal or no big deal here?
Big deal.
I think this is just inevitable for Jim Rutherford to go ahead and make a move at the trade deadline. I don't think that he's going to just sit on his hands and let this thing pass, especially if Dominic Cahoon deals with any lingering effects from this concussion, and hopefully the All-Star break kind of puts that off in a longer one than usual, this All-Star break, and he can get back. But I think there will be a move to be made here. I don't know if it'll be right away. Maybe it'll be closer to that deadline, and that's exactly what Dreger said, that it could be a deadline deal. But it's going to be made, and they're going to beef up this attack offensively. It'll be interesting to see who exactly the Penguins bring in. All right, a couple more here. Pitt football managed to avoid the top three teams in terms of finish in the ACC outside of the Coastal Division. Big deal or no big deal?
Not a big deal.
Yeah, the schedule was released yesterday. Florida State is on the schedule for Pitt, and I think they'll be better with Mike Norvell coming in from Memphis. Virginia's there. They got to play them, a Coastal opponent. I think they'll be just as good next year. Virginia Tech will be right there, maybe even better. Miami just got De'Aaron King from Houston, the transfer. He's coming in at quarterback. It never matters what the schedule looks like, right? It has looked like they could win 9 or 10 games for the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now, I'd say, for Pitt. But as of now, it hasn't happened. And as of now, Pitt has DeMar Hamlin coming back. They're two injured defensive linemen in camp and Weaver. But I still don't know if they can win more than 7 games next year. That's just the reality for the program, no matter what the roster, no matter what the schedule looks like. All right, next. Longtime Giants quarterback Eli Manning announced his retirement last night. Big deal or no big deal for Pittsburgh?
Big deal.
Feels like it's a must, right? It's got to be a big deal, considering who he's linked with. Part of that draft class that features Philip Rivers, major drop-off this past year, and, of course, Ben Roethlisberger. I can't help but to be nervous when I look at those guys and the steep drop-off in their careers over the past 2 seasons now, and the elbow surgery certainly doesn't help either in Ben's case, and wondering if he's going to come back and what version we're going to get of him. Eli, with just such a baffling career, had some great years, some great wins, really. If he did nothing but beat those undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl, he'd be okay in my book. And I thought the whole move not to go to San Diego was a little absurd to begin his career, but a guy that I guess, has always seemed first class, at least from afar. So Eli Manning retiring, I think, is kind of a big deal if you consider what it means and who he is linked with, and that, of course, being Ben Roethlisberger. And finally, the Flyers' insanely ugly mascot, Gritty, is being investigated for assault by Philadelphia police. Big deal, no big deal here.
Big deal!
I mean, of course, because it's Philadelphia and because it's an opportunity for us to make fun of them. So, this is an incredible story from the Philadelphia Inquirer. They reference Gritty as if Gritty is like a regular person and not just a guy in a costume. But they go through this story of a man, a season ticket holder for a long time, and his 13-year-old son trying to get a photo with Gritty. And the son taps him on the head, Gritty that is. And then Gritty just hauls off and just punches the kid in the back of the head. Just for no apparent reason, really. Maybe upset that he touched him on the head. So now there's emails going back and forth between the team, and now Philadelphia police are getting investigated, or investigating it, and it's just a whole mess. And another reason that the Flyers continue to be one of the worst organizations in sports that we can all make fun of course. Thank you, Gritty. Question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. Zion Williamson made his debut in the NBA last night for the New Orleans Pelicans. And I wonder now, what would get you into the NBA? I know that we're not an NBA town here in Pittsburgh. Outside of a team coming to Pittsburgh, which I don't even know if people would be into it if a team came here. But what does it take you? What would it take to get into the NBA for you? Are you forever banning the NBA from your sports fandom and your sports watching here in Pittsburgh? Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Drive the car or truck of your dreams with great deals all month long. Today, times of cloud and sun and a high of 44. And then tonight, cloudy and a low of 30. Pre-show is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.